Hey, if you want the latest comic news, who are you going to call?
Comic Busters. Culture. Oh, Comic Culture.
Oh, Chris,
right.
Come on.
Sorry.
Hey, listen, yeah. You're listening to Comic Culture.
Right.
On 93.3 CFMU, McMaster Radio, Hamilton's award-winning radio station. And you're listening on, where else are we listening?
Get the Point Radio.
GetThePointRadio.com.
Possibly,
and,
I don't know.
And ComicBookDaily.com.
iTunes, maybe, something like
iTunes,
that. Yeah.
And NPR.
And NPR, sure.
I am Walter DeRaglia, your Overstreet Price Guide Advisor.
And I'm Chris Owen, professor at Hamilton's Mohawk College.
And together we are your Ghostbusters.
Are we really? We're Ghostbusters?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, we busted.
Busting that ghost. All right, listen, and we are, of course, accompanied by our local producer, Shecky Feldstein. How are you doing there, Shecky?
I'm doing good. You know, and I'm like the Dustbuster. Getting the dust off you two,
Dustbuster.
You two old guys who aren't too lively
hey,
there.
Chris! You got the dust off you, Chris.
Yeah. Nice. Of all the shows I've ever done, this is the most recent.
Yeah.
All right, listen. We are here to talk
about Uncle Milty.
I love that old gag by Milty. Listen, we are here to talk about comic books. For those of you who, you know what, we probably might have a new listener every once in a while.
We do.
So we should probably let them know that
for the new
listeners.
There's a disturbance in the forest. There's a new listener right now. new listener, you say?
You know what? We have to let them know what we do. We talk about new comics. We talk about industry news. We talk about all kinds of things that have to do with comics.
We rant about things that aren't even comic-related sometimes.
We do. We fill them in. That's what we do.
Fill them in. All right, listen, we are here to talk about comics, so let's – one of the things we like to do is talk about New This Week. And, Marty, do you have a sponsor for us for New This Week?
Absolutely, Chris. New This Week brought to you by 2015's New Year's Resolutions, which starts with promising to have better sponsors.
That's, you know, that is a great
sponsor.
Yeah, that
one lasted
sponsor.
How long before we
– Listen, Walt,
yo.
I'm tired of the old – doldrum way of doing New This Week.
I'm sick of tired of it.
You know what? We've done this for 5 years now.
Five.
We're doing a different New This Week.
Good for
so
you.
So you know what we're going to do? So normally you and I would talk about, you know, two or three or possibly four comics and go through it, talk about all the values and all that kind of great stuff about each one.
Ad nauseum.
We've decided, you know, but there's so many, there's thousands of books that come out
every week.
Well, that's
what happened, because I read the email you showed
it
to me.
Yeah.
Basically, publishers, writers, artists.
They're all
are
emailing
complaining,
me. Yes.
Saying, hey, how come you're not featuring my book?
Exactly.
How come you're not featuring my book?
That's right.
How come you're not featuring my book?
So you got my emails and you're going to feature my book?
Yeah.
Oh. Shecky Feldstein, okay. The Life Therein.
A zinger right there.
Oof. Listen, so I've got 8 books in my hand.
Should we turn his mic off?
Yeah.
Hello, this thing on?
He's still here. I've got 8 books in my hand. We're just going to kind of quickly go through what is happening on the new this week. We're not going to talk about all the...
So what you're trying to do, Chris, correct me if I'm wrong.
I will.
You're trying to just feature more books on you this week.
We're trying to shorten it up a bit.
Okay. How's that working?
Trying
for
to
you?
Shorten it up by tripling our book load.
That's right.
All right. Well, listen. Yeah. Why don't you mention some?
Yeah.
Oh no, I'm
going to
mention all of them.
Oh, okay. I meant some of the 437.
Oh, I'm not going to mention all those.
Right.
No.
Chris doesn't blow the whole wad on the air.
No. Right. All right. No. Listen. First one we have to talk about is Bitch Planet.
Hey-o.
So we reviewed this book a few weeks ago, probably about 4 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Bitch Planet. This is by Image Comics.
What number is it?
2.
It made it to 2?
Yeah, I know. Unbelievably.
Whoa.
Right? Yeah, crazy. It's got a couple of girls fighting on the cover, and there's all kinds of great stuff going on there.
But the big thing is, it made it to number 2.
It has a couple of great assets on the cover.
Yes, it does.
Oh, yeah.
And listen, I'm surprised, and I congratulations for making it to issue number 2. That is a feat in itself.
It is.
Bitch Planet number 2 at your local comic book shop today.
All right. Next one, we got Deathstroke number 4. And this has Deathstroke and Harley Quinn on the cover. I know Deathstroke's in the latest. He's been all over the Arrow TV show. Uh-huh. And Harley Quinn's a fan fave. So I thought I'd mention that one.
So it's kind of hot and buzzing right now.
Hot and buzzing.
Yeah. Deathstroke number 4.
I think that's the kind of like the infection I had on that hot and buzzing.
Yeah, you get that taken care of?
Not yet. I really got to go see a physician about that.
A physician.
Yeah.
Deathstroke number 4 at your local comic book shop today. Check that out.
All right, let's switch to Marvel for a second here. Deadpool number 41.
That'll be near Deathlock, I believe, in your new this week.
Deathlock?
You know, when you're looking for the books.
That is true.
Yeah.
And I figured Deathstroke, I got Deadpool.
Oh, Deadpool.
And that here we have The Merc with a Mouth by Marvel. And I liked this cover because it was kind of a Mad Max kind of cover.
Yeah.
Which is a film that's being rebooted as well, coming out in what? Is it the summer?
It's the summer, yeah. George Miller.
Yeah, I think it is,
yeah. Yeah, this summer.
Hey, Deadpool, Merc with the Mouth, number 41, available at your local comic book shop today. Nice and close to Deathstroke, number 4.
You know, I don't think I have any other death-type things, so we're going to go right back to Harley Quinn.
Breaking the alphabet.
Exactly. So Harley Quinn, number 14, is out. This is, of course, by Amanda Connor, Jimmy Palmiotti.
My God, Chris. I mean, you're telling us so many great, cool New This Week books that are coming out, hitting the New This Week stand of your local comic book shop.
Today.
I don't know what to do with myself.
Okay, well, there's more. Here's a book that I can't, you know, I'm actually surprised it's actually on the newsstand still. Invaders. Really, does anybody give two invaders? Invaders, old school Marvel book, it's got Human Torch and Namor, and who cares?
Does it have aliens?
It probably should. It might make it better
because then the title becomes relevant.
That's very true. Yeah, but you know what? That's a great point because right now it's really not relevant at all, and nobody gives two craps about it. Thank God for Secret War.
Stan Lee might.
That's true.
Invaders number 14. Don't listen to these guys. It's worth a look. Check it out at your local comic book shop today.
All right, you know what? Here's another book that you do want to see because this is the big book for the beginning of the big DC crossover type thing in this Multiversity Guidebook.
So this starts the what?
This is kind of like what's happening. It's what's going to be happening. Why they're doing the whole multiversity thing? It has a big guideline as to all the different Earths. We've got Earth 47, Earth 42.
So when you say it's
30.
Like a guidebook, is it more like an encyclopedia? Like you're learning instead of actually reading a comic?
Nobody likes learning.
It's like homework.
Yeah. It really is. Yeah. Yeah.
Nobody, all right, son.
Yeah. See, they've got Earth 0. They've got Earth 1. Oh, see, I see. So they've got Earth 0, which is all the new DC characters, and then they've got Earth 1, which is the old DC characters. Boring.
Ho-hum.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, listen, if you need homework, DC's Multiversity Guidebook is out today at your local comic book shop.
All right. Also, we've got Spider-Man and the X-Men, and this has... you know what? Spider-Man, he's fighting monster-type characters and dinosaurs and
stuff
number
on the
cover.
What number is it?
Number 2. I don't know. You know what?
This sounds like one of those Monday morning board meetings.
Yeah.
Guys, we need another title.
Yeah. You know what kids love? Kids love dinosaurs.
And they love Spider-Man.
And love Spider-Man.
What other comic does well for us?
I think we got X-Men.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's put Spider-Man in the X-Men.
But
and
have
dinosaurs
in it. Yeah. Jurassic Park thing, that's big, isn't it?
Yeah. In issue 3, I want spiders on the
comic.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. Anyways,
Spider-Man and the X-Men are a really good book. Check that out. Number 2.
Man, you sold us.
And finally, last up on our hit parade, we've got Catwoman number 38. I like the cover on the inside. I'm not so hot on. That's all I got to tell you.
Oh, you didn't like the book itself?
No.
Hey, Chris, you don't often poo-poo on things.
I know.
I like this new approach that we have. It was Fast and Furious.
That's right.
And Quick and Clean.
Yep. Any other kind of adjectives you want to use there?
It's almost like... I can see what I can see coming out of this.
What's that?
It's to be like an Oprah's book club.
Yes,
where
it's true.
The books that we thumb up, and because it's radio, we'll show them whether we got a thumb up or a thumb down.
Yeah.
We'll pretty well be getting pitches and emails and cases.
Oh, everybody will be emailing.
Cases of cognac there saying, hey, guys.
That's right.
I really do need a thumb up on my new...
I pity the person who asked for our thumb up on their on themselves there.
No,
thumb up on your. What were you going to say there?
I heard through the grapevine that there is a. It's like a Howard the Duck spoof.
Okay,
it's called Dick Duck and the Dork.
Oh, I see. Right.
Number one coming out in April.
Oh, I see. Yeah, thumb up on the old Dick Duck and Dorks.
Dick
All right.
Duck and the Dorks.
All right, listen. We need a musical interlude after that. new beginning.
New beginning.
To our new this
only
week.
The beginning.
And speaking of new beginnings, let's a week after the incident, the great incident of last week.
Right.
We're going to get down to some real Aquaman for
all right,
you
let
today.
That, yeah. Yo, remember that awful fiasco? Let's hear some Aquaman.
Oy.
Aquaman, no one greater than Aquaman, king of Atlantis, king of the sea, where the danger is, that's where he'll be, always defending you, yeah, you and me, Aquaman. Can always depend on mankind's truest friend, Aquaman.
Chris, I love that song. And that, of course, is by the YMCA Boys Choir.
That's how they get that high pitch.
So angelic.
Yeah. Listen, we are here now to talk about industry news. And you know what? You know what I'm disappointed about? For the first time in a long time, we have not had any mailbag. And so we have to encourage our listeners, to write into us and let us know about things that are happening in their comic book community.
Yeah. How are we going to answer your questions if you don't ask one?
Exactly.
Well, have you ever thought of that?
I had about 5 or 18 mailbags over the past month and a bit over the holidays.
Yeah.
But it was mostly complaints about why we're on hiatus for the holidays.
I know.
That guy Chris is sick again. Yeah. You know, that guy Walt's not in town.
I'm sick of that guy Chris.
Yeah.
I think they were all by John Bitterman, but
probably,
I had a bunch.
Yeah, you know? I think Keith may have written in there too. Listen.
We have a sponsor for what's
industry
site?
News.
Industry news.
Industry news. I think so.
You're on the ball, Chris. I like that. Yeah. You're really sharp as a whip.
OTB on the ball. That's what they call me. Yeah,
cracking the whip.
Yeah.
All right, industry news segment one brought to you by the Indiana Jones reboot. As long as the cast doesn't become filled by female comedians, maybe go see it.
Oh, well, you know what? Good news.
Good news.
So first thing I want to talk to you about today is, Ghostbusters is being rebooted.
I heard.
Oh, man, that sounds great.
Yeah, Ghostbusters.
And Shecky Feldstein, our producer, had a brilliant segue into the whole thing with that.
Aquaman
no.
song. With oh, sorry.
The, what's that song we called at the beginning?
Ghostbusters. The intro.
Intro.
Yeah.
See, in hindsight, maybe the Aquaman should have started.
Yeah. That's all right. Listen, you know what? So Melissa McCarthy. So, okay, let's just back it up here for a minute.
Hey, back that caboose.
So they've been trying to do a sequel to the Ghostbusters movies for a long time. Then, unfortunately, Harold Ramis passed away, I think it was last year, and a lot of the cast members were just saying, and even Ivan Reitman was like, I'm out, you know, we can't do this. Dan Aykroyd is probably 8,000 pounds now, so it's they looked at him and said, oh, is that the Stave Puff? No, that's Dan Aykroyd.
Dan Aykroyd. Hey-ho.
He might play Dan. Santa Claus in films nowadays.
Yeah. So instead, they've decided to have an all-female cast. So they're rebooting the Ghostbusters, and Melissa McCarthy is going to head this all-female cast. They've now all signed on. It's going to be a reboot of the Ghostbusters property. So now, instead of the usual guys that we had before, we've got Kristen Wiig, Leslie Jones, and Kate McKinnon, along with Melissa McCarthy.
Nice.
Yeah. I think it'll be fun. You know, I think it'll be good. Kristen Wiig was on Saturday Night Live for a long time. Current SNL Saturday Night Live members, Leslie Jones and Kate McKinnon, I think they'll be great on the show, on the movie, I should say. So you know what? Why not? I think it's a good idea.
It sounds cool.
Yep.
I think the Ghostbusters premise is great.
It's been long enough now that I think we need a reboot for this.
Yeah. Right. I think the girls are going to do a great job.
Yeah.
I think as long as the humor's there and the kind of the excitement and the action and adventure is there. I don't know, I'm a guy, so I watch guys, I said that wrong.
Okay,
hey,
go
let
on.
Me back that up.
Hey, that's okay.
But there's nothing wrong with that.
No.
But, you know, as a guy, you see that kind of Bill Murray character,
yeah.
you know, and you kind of you champion him trying to get the girl and stuff like that. So,
right.
You know, like watching the girls do their thing and their humor and their interaction.
Yeah, you know, it'll be good.
No, and it's going to be different, but I think it'll be good. Like, it'll be different, though. It'll be something we're not used to, but
it'll be fresh.
I just hope, you know, that they give the guys a chance. They're giving the girls a chance to go with the property that's traditionally.
Right. Traditionally guys.
Like, thing by guys. So I hope the next Charlie's Angels
will be guys.
Is three guys.
Oh, yeah. Will you go see it?
No.
No.
Kidding? You think I'm crazy? I look like a loser?
Angels Charlie's?
Yeah, Angels Charlie's. I don't know. I think it's great. I'm looking forward to it.
All right, listen. I am looking forward to it also. Listen, I got to talk about this. This has been on my mind. I didn't bring it up last week.
Chris, let it go. Get it off your chest.
I can't.
Get it off your chest. We're here for you to hear you out.
Okay.
Go ahead.
We are?
Now, listen. Listen, this is going to make me sound bad, but I'm not meaning it in a bad way.
I'm sure no one out there has high expectations of you, Chris.
Probably not.
No.
Most of our listening audience knows that I'm a fan of the character from DC Comics, Power Girl.
Yes.
That is nothing new here, for the people around this table. Power Girl is being changed, transformed into a hipper, cooler, more acceptable teenage audience, I guess. I don't know what it is. Karen Starr has given up the name Power Girl, and now Power Girl is going to be a black super genius teenager.
Wow.
Now, hold on. Now, before.
Still a girl, though, right?
Still a girl.
Okay. Still a girl.
She's a 17.
We're on the right
Yeah,
here.
Well,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah. 17-year-old super genius who now has.
Will she still have the portal to eternity?
No, there's a little little circle there, but it's not exactly the way.
A little
it was
less
before.
Eternal.
Yeah, a little less eternal. Mm. She's still going to have super strength. Still going to be invulnerable. She's 17-year-old super genius. She was introduced in World's Finest number 23, and in World's Finest 26, she was officially made the new Power Girl. Now, she does have a cool new costume, and there are some classic nods to the costume. There's still a circle in that sort of bosomy area like Power Girl had. She's got a cool new look to her. And don't get me wrong. It's not that I don't like the new look. It's not that I'm against the new look. I just think that what they've done to her, much like what they did to the Blue Beetle character, because they took Ted Kord and they made him into this Hispanic character from, I think California or something like that.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with that. Yeah. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. What I don't like is the fact that it seems like it's a bit of a
excessive change.
No, it's not even that. I don't mind that. I just think that there's something that's they're going against the original creations of the characters,
right?
And that's what I don't like about it. So here are these creations that have been around for 50 years or 30 years, whatever it happens to be, and all of a sudden people are saying, you know what, we need to update these characters because we need to be trendier.
Yeah.
And I don't know why can't they just make better characters, new better characters? Why do they have to take old characters and mess around with them and make them different? Why can't they just, instead of taking the term Power Girl, why can't they just call her something else? Right?
Because Power Girl still throws some weight around. I don't know.
I don't get it.
You're on to something. First of all. You are a person that has vested interest, but you really fell in love with the character Power Girl.
Right.
Okay. So you're a guy that fell in love with that character, Power Girl, a buxom blonde.
Yeah.
Maybe as a young man, that was your thing. Right.
Making me sound creepy, but that's good. That's all right.
I'm saying though, whether they turn Power Girl into Power Guy, or whether they turn Power Girl into a brunette,
exactly.
Or whether they turn Power Girl into an African American or an Asian
or whatever,
it's messing with what you loved about Power Girl. Your image of Power Girl.
That's exactly
so your
it.
Image of Power Girl is gone, and you want her back because that's the image of Power Girl you want.
Right,
but that opens up a can of worms in terms of general society and what we're doing with the superheroes. Because what we're doing is, because we, especially in North America, which I think North America has the model for the world in terms of, you see all the crap and the turmoil going on everywhere.
Yep.
And as bad as we can get, we're like, the poster boys and girls of the way you should live together.
Right. Right. Right.
So, and we're trying to be, and you know, we're creating new characters that are males, females, Asians, Africans, Europeans. We're creating new ones, but we're also experimenting with changing old characters from one race to another, one gender to another,
right.
whether it's Thor, whether it's Falcon,
right.
whether it's everything,
right.
which is all cool. It's all like a grab bag. It's all kind of experimentation going on the last 5 years.
Okay, so, yeah, so, I'm sorry,
okay,
go ahead. Yeah.
I guess there is – no. I guess there is an argument. I guess what I'm trying to say, because I'm the old guy here, and I'll just say it because to try to be politically incorrect, I don't think you should brand somebody – I'm not nowhere near saying you about this.
No.
This has nothing to do with you. I'm just
right.
talking about the chatter online and
right,
stuff.
Right, right.
Don't brand somebody a racist
right.
because they don't like the fact that – there's talk of the new James Bond being black.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Like, you read all the James Bond books. He was a British white male.
Right.
And that's the way you are used to him. That's the way you want him because
yep.
you love that character. And then, you know, they're experimenting with that. And then you put up a fuss.
Yeah.
Oh, you're a racist.
Right, right.
Well,
exactly.
It can't be that way.
And it's not
It's not that. It's about tradition.
Exactly.
Than anything else.
And there's,
right?
I don't, you know.
But you're afraid to say it,
because
you'll sound like a racist.
Right. But my other point is, so even if they had, so I'm actually okay with it doesn't bother me as much that the race issue and all that, but now they've changed the whole look of the character, right? They've
yes.
changed her costume,
yes.
they've changed the dynamics of the character, they changed everything about
right.
her, and then they're still calling her Power Girl.
So why keep the name?
What's the point,
yeah.
right? And that's my point.
It might be for a selling feature for first-time readers. Instead of calling her some new superhero name, which you're just going to say, hey, it's just another one in the DC pool.
Right.
You know, a splash in the pond. It'll be done before the fifth issue.
Yeah.
Instead, it has the name Power Girl, so you know it's going to continue. And, hey, it's going to be relative to the Power Girl world.
Yep.
Hopefully.
See, they've done – now, when it comes to Ms. Marvel,
mm-hmm.
right? So Ms. Marvel, they had the Muslim girl don the costume kind of thing. And I'm okay with that. Like,
sure.
You know what?
Because
it's relatively the same kind of costume. Like, it's – you know what? It's it's very similar.
Yeah.
There haven't been major changes. You know, I could see where Blue Beetle – it was a kind of a completely weird-looking kind of Spider-Man-type Blue Beetle costume.
Mm-hmm.
I could see where they didn't – fans would not have liked that, and with Power Girl it's completely different,
right?
So I just think it's,
and we as comic weebs and fans are used to the precedent, like, let's say, you know, the greatest example of all is the Green Lantern,
right?
We're used to all different colors, shapes, sizes, races, planets, galaxies donning the Green Lantern thing, and we're all like, hey, that's the Green Lantern,
awesome.
Whatever
yeah.
that is. So we get that, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think, though, with the Power Girl is like especially for your example, you like the Power Girl the way the Power Girl was.
Right.
That Power Girl is gone.
Yeah.
You don't like that.
No,
that
that's right.
Gone.
That's right.
You know?
Yeah.
It's as simple as that.
Yeah,
right?
You're right.
But there are, you know, there's an argument for traditionalists in comics, especially in this time of change and upheaval of everything.
Yep.
There's an argument. There's almost a sympathy for the traditionalists because the traditionalists get branded that they don't like change. Well, not many people like change.
Right.
And especially
right.
if you like something already.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then somebody goes ups and changes.
Yep.
Because
yep.
maybe things are trending away from what you like into what other people like.
Yeah.
You have every right to be pissed off.
Yeah, like, that's
oh,
right.
Goddamn.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep. Yep.
Oh,
no, I agree.
Man, you know, I'm not buying that book anymore. Right.
And I don't mind change to a point, but sometimes I think that there gets to be a point where it becomes almost disrespectful to the people that created that character.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, and even maybe to the fan base of that character at the time.
That's right. Yeah.
A certain percentage of them just like, you know, that character for that character.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So I don't want to spend any more time on it. That was something I had to talk about. I was even talking to people about it on Facebook, and there's a lot of people that agreed with me,
you
some people that disagreed,
yeah,
and I'm okay with that.
The good news is that Power Girl did get a role on Bosom Buddies. So she's still
perfect,
working.
Perfect. That's good. Listen, next one I want to talk about here is – so we got a little bit of movie talk we're going to do here.
Movie talk.
So Captain America – the movie of Captain America Civil War comes out in 2016. Now, there have been a lot of speculation as to what Civil War would be all about. And now in the Civil War comic – the main sort of antagonist to Captain America was Iron Man. And so everybody assumed that Iron Man would be the quote-unquote villain for this next movie.
Yeah.
But now it's been revealed that, in fact, Daniel Brühl is going to play Baron Zemo, and he's going to be the...
Hey, wait a minute. Daniel Brühl, is he the SS officer in Inglourious Basterds? Was he the guy that was that scary-ass
I think SS he was.
Guy?
I think he was,
that was
yes.
eating the cream cheese in the restaurant? And-
Yes, he was.
Pie,
yeah, yes,
you know?
Yes. That's exactly who it was. Yeah.
Yeah,
he's a good actor.
Nasty
yeah,
in that.
Completely
yeah.
nasty. So it's he was in fact in Inglourious Basterds, and he's now going to be Baron Zemo.
So this is like this is like Marvel weighing their options, Disney weighing their options, and say, hey, we can't have Iron Man being a pawn of the man, right?
Exactly.
So we're going to not write Iron Man into the Civil War story like he originally was.
Like he originally was,
and
yeah.
It's
yeah.
like when they remade Star Wars and they had Han Solo shoot second because
yes,
in the first one he shot
right.
first.
That's right, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that's
so
right.
So now
yeah.
they're, you know, they're like, wow, now, man, we got too much vested interest in Iron
we
Man.
We can't make Iron Man
We can't
bad.
Make Iron Man like a yeah. pawn of the government.
And you know what's funny is initially, okay, funny I should say that because as far as interpretations and perceptions of character.
Uh-huh.
So in the third Iron Man movie, they were going to focus on Iron Man's or Tony Stark's alcoholism.
Right.
And instead, they didn't want to delve that deep into the character, so they decided to go into his post-traumatic stress disorder from the New York battle that occurred in the Avengers.
Right.
Because they didn't. They thought it would be too much for the character,
right.
too much for the audience.
Did
to
the
be
third
able to-
Iron Man come out?
Yeah, a long time ago. Yeah.
Yeah, you saw that one, right?
That's the one with the kid?
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, you saw it.
Yeah, I don't remember anything about a post-traumatic.
Remember,
stress?
He kept on having like you know, he had to the kid kept
and,
on
like,
bugging
anxiety,
him. Hey,
like,
now tell me about what happened in New York. What happened
oh,
in New
yeah,
York? And then he'd be like, "Yeah, I don't want to talk about it."
Yeah,
you
know? I get it.
So that was that. It wasn't a very big part of the movie, but it was there.
Okay.
And initially, it was going to be alcoholism, and they changed it. So that's. It sounds like that's what they're kind of doing. They're changing things so that Iron Man or
Chris,
Robert Downey Jr. can
what
be
was the alcohol issue in Iron Man?
He was an alcoholic.
No, what was the famous?
Oh, I know.
Oh, the cover?
Iron Man number what?
Yeah.
What the big
oh, I don't know the number, but it's him getting the shakes and the sweats in the mirror with Demon in the Bottle.
I know the name of the book, the title of that book.
Demon in the Bottle?
Demon in the Bottle.
Yeah.
What's the number?
It's an Iron Man,
doop,
right?
162. What is it?
118.
128.
Oh, all right. Listen.
Hey, how close was I?
Yeah.
Huh?
All right. Listen,
change
you know
one
what?
To a two. And you're
wait, wait, wait. Hold on. Did Shecky just best a professor?
You know what? We're going to see who's going to best who later on in the
hey,
show.
Hey, Baron Zemo.
You know what? You know what? Let's just do this right now, all right?
Okay. Wait.
Bring it.
Hold on. You know what?
Let's what are you talking right about? Now. I don't
Baron
even know what you're talking
Zemo.
About.
Baron Zemo.
Baron Zemo.
Who's going to be in this one?
Yeah.
What's your first appearance, Baron Zemo?
No, I see. That's what you're going to do.
See, that's
where
you're going. Uh-huh, you want to be like that, dude.
I see.
Oh.
Tales of Suspense?
No.
Oh.
What is Avengers number 6.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. You know what?
I think.
Okay. Here you go.
I may be wrong.
You ready? Are you ready for this?
Oh, now I
got
a map.
Hold on.
Yeah,
what's kicking
right.
up here? What is about to kick up
okay,
here?
Okay. No.
Hey, Chris.
No,
put that back in your pocket.
I'm going to start it off slow for you. I'm going to start it off slow.
That's how I like it.
I know.
Like when you start it off slow.
Yeah, it's okay. I'll be gentle. What's the first appearance of Claw, the Master of Sound?
Is that the guy from Inspector Gadget with the cat?
No. Yeah.
Oh.
that,
oh.
Yeah.
Claw, the Master of Sound, first appeared in Claw, the Master of Sound, number one.
Yeah, you're so wrong. You're so wrong.
Oh, I thought I had him there.
So wrong. So, I know. I don't. Beep, beep. Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert.
Do not pay attention to this next coming message. Claw is meant to be in the new Avengers movie, and that's why I'm bringing this up.
Oh.
Oh.
So Claw, the Master of Sound.
Was it like the late 50s, one of those Strange Tales, one of the something?
No, no. Avengers, like number 20.
No.
FF.
FF, yeah, which one?
Yeah. FF, number, don't tell me.
Okay.
Don't tell me.
I'm a guess.
It's in the 50s.
Ooh.
59.
Oh.
58.
No, lower.
57.
No.
54.
No, up higher.
Five.
Six. Higher. Six. 56.
I don't know.
I feel like I was
a Kirby
I was on
one.
Price is Right.
It was the Silver Surfer run.
Right, yeah. Right, yeah.
It was the Silver Surfer arc.
All right. So listen, okay, so, geez, you know, if you didn't get that one,
I don't
think you're going to get this one.
Oh, of course I am.
Okay, all right.
Between
you know
talking
what?
Talking about okay, an Open Street Price Guide advisor.
All right, okay, listen. We talked about Batman earlier today.
Well, we talked about it.
So Batman has a giant penny in the Batcave.
Giant who?
Penny.
Penny?
Penny. Penny Lane is in my heart.
Okay, so what's he doing with
okay,
this penny?
So what year did the first appear? And in what issue?
What year is the penny?
And in what issue did that penny appear?
Oh, Chris, that's easy.
Okay.
Yeah. The penny appeared in 19...
Yeah.
Hold on.
Okay.
So what you're telling me is this is a penny.
So there's a giant penny.
In the Batcave.
In the Batcave.
Right.
Now, it's been.
Is it made of copper?
It's well, as far as I know. Now, that penny. Here, I will give you this.
Give
so
me
that,
a hint.
So the penny initially appeared in one comic, and then it was retrofitted to appear as if it was a Two-Face thing. Because Two-Face
right,
and
yeah,
pennies
I
and
think
coins.
I remember that, yeah.
Okay, but it actually appeared in an early comic in the 19... I'll give you this.
It's
in the 1940s.
Do so.
Yeah.
Was it 1939?
Well, I should say the penny itself is from the 1940s.
The penny is from the 1940s. Yeah. I am going to just capitulate, and I'm going to say, pick a number from 1 to 100.
Was it 1945?
No.
Oh.
Number 28.
Okay. So it appeared in World's Finest number 30, and the date on the penny is 1947.
Oh.
You know, I went with 45.
Okay.
And this is hard. That was hard.
I know.
Okay.
All right, so I'll give you an easier one.
I would have had to pull something out of my butt on that
one.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Is it an Overstreet Price?
No, I got to leave that there.
All right, listen. So I'll give you an easier one here.
Okay.
Name the different women that have played Catwoman.
Oh, yeah, Catwoman. That would be...
I already know two.
Hedy Youngman.
Take my wife, please.
No, not Henny. Hedy Lamarr.
Oh, yeah, okay. Well, I was going to say Hedy
Lamarr.
Youngman.
Yeah. Hedy Lamarr.
No.
Candace Bergen.
No.
Murphy Brown.
Murphy Brown. Yeah.
Lucille Ball.
Oh, that's a terrible guess.
Okay, Rosemary Clooney.
You're getting worse and worse.
Okay. What's her name? No, don't tell me. Julie Newmar.
Yeah, there's one.
Okay, Julie Newmar. What's the other girl's name? Michelle Pfeiffer.
There's two.
Haley Berry.
There's three.
Tracy Lords.
if only.
Oh, yes, she did.
No,
oh, yes,
yeah,
she did.
Chris, you didn't see that one, Chris?
I'll send you the link. Okay?
I want to see that.
Yeah.
I want to see that.
Yeah,
maybe
you do.
No.
Oh, I know.
So Tracy Lords,
okay,
and
he's not going to get.
All right,
I'm going to save it for last.
And, yeah, he'll get the last one.
He won't get the last one.
And Drew Barrymore.
Okay, listen. Okay, first
I got
of
three.
All, you got three.
Four?
Got,
no, four.
Got,
Tracy Lords.
Okay, you got three out of six or four out of
Optional
seven.
Optional four.
So from the Batman TV show, you got Julie Newmar.
Yeah.
However, you missed Eartha Kitt.
Oh, Eartha Kitt. I loved Eartha
Kitt. Lee Merriweather.
Oh, Lee Merriweather, yeah. She was Miss America before.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. Wow. Now, you got Michelle Pfeiffer. You got Halle Berry.
Yeah.
However, you did miss which one?
Anne Hathaway
for the most recent one.
All right. Okay.
All right, listen. All right. That, let's, you know what? You know, we need to... cleanse ourselves,
Chris. Why did you felt to punish us like this?
I know.
Yeah, I don't know.
I've got more questions, but you know what? Let's just end it there. We'll have a quick musical interlude.
Let's end it there.
All right.
The interrogation can start there.
That's
or stop
right.
There,
all right.
Sorry.
Let's keep on going here.
And we're gonna crance you up there while a little pick
crance
me up for
it.
You.
Oh, thank you.
We need to cleanse.
Yeah, Chris, you know what that was like? That was like a good coffee enema.
Did you enjoy that?
Nice cleanse right there.
I know all about that sort of thing, don't you, Walt?
This town needs an enema.
This town needs an enema. Hey, speaking of which, I got...
Speaking of enemas?
No. I'm sorry. We got part two of Industry News. We have paying sponsors.
Oh,
over to our producer.
And to you.
Absolutely. Part two, segment two, whatever you call it, two of Industry News, brought to you by Dan Aykroyd's latest role in the Indiana Jones reboot. He'll be the big rolling ball in the opening scene.
Okay, listen, you know what?
Yeah, no.
I do have more questions for
okay,
you.
Okay, go ahead.
But no, you know what? Let's have a quick... I do want to talk about Indiana Jones.
Okay, yeah. There's a segue there. We might as well take it. Right.
So do you remember when it was... What, was it last year or 2 years ago that George Lucas sold out to the man and sold his Lucasfilm and all everything that Lucasfilm was all about to Disney?
Yes.
Right? So as of that day, Disney then owned Star Wars, ILM, and, of course, Indiana Jones.
I didn't know that Indiana Jones was in that.
It was part of that deal.
Okay. It was. Even though Paramount made the films, I think Lucasfilm retained the rights of the character.
Okay, I did not know that.
Okay, so... Apparently they've been wanting to do another Indiana Jones movie, but Harrison Ford's folded. He's folded. Yeah. He's folded, all right. Unfortunately, his wheelchair is getting too long on the tooth. So apparently Chris Pratt is in the throes of being...
Who's Chris Pratt?
So the guy that played Star-Lord in Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah. I didn't like him that much.
Did you even see the movie?
I did. I swear. I saw it recently because my kids wanted to see it. Dad, let's go watch it right there. Yeah. Yeah. Got like $6.99 to download it on the
He's okay.
TV.
And you got to remember this. Guardians of the Galaxy is kind of like that new Star Wars of this next generation idea.
Yep.
And he's that jokester.
Yeah, but he
character.
Overdid it, I thought.
So it's like Harrison
I thought he overdid
Ford,
it.
But I'm saying, if you were to look at Harrison Ford doing Star
he
Wars.
He wasn't that much of a jokester.
Why don't
stuff.
You do,
sorry, what? Sorry. I'm going to be
enough.
Quiet.
He was like the tough guy, rebel guy, right?
He's doing a lot of work now.
Yeah. If you were to see Harrison Ford in the 77 year, you know, but as an adult now, not as a child who was probably just flicking popcorn at your friend or something.
Whoa.
And then you said, oh, man, that guy's great. And then
I was licking a lot of things back
getting
then.
Getting an opportunity to do like Indiana Jones. Man, that's exciting. That's out of control.
I think this might be that.
Not at the same moment in your life, you know?
Yeah.
Okay, so
you're licking things,
just
different things.
Hold on a second. So Chris Pratt.
Not getting a pulse, guys.
So Chris Pratt was in Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
He's also in Jurassic World, the next Jurassic Park franchise.
Cast, right, yep.
There's going to be in Antoine Fuqua's The Magnificent Seven. Not to mention,
gotta be careful how you say that.
Antoine Fuqua.
Yeah.
Fuqua.
Which,
you know what?
That guy has no problem getting
dates.
You
know what I just saw? I just saw White House Down by Antoine Fuqua. Very good movie, by the way.
Oh, yeah?
With Gerard Butler. Very good. Anyways, listen. Chris Pratt is slated to be Indiana Jones. It's just a rumor. We don't know if it's going to happen for sure or not. But I think he might be. But that's the style of movies now. They want a jokey kind of...
Yeah.
You know, fun, adventure.
And if the cash cow that was Guardians of the Galaxy, which was Marvel, which was Disney.
Yep.
And Disney has their ways because Disney is Lucasfilm, which is Indiana Jones. Why not? He becomes like a studio player for Disney, right?
Yeah, owned by the studio.
Yeah.
All right.
That's how it used to be back in like
wave
the
your hands
40s,
in the
30s,
air
you know?
If you're a true player.
Okay, listen. So speaking of Chris Pratt, Super Bowl's this weekend.
Super Bowl.
And he's in it.
No, he is not. Okay. He's not in it. However,
who's the musical performing act?
Katy Perry, and some other person. I don't know
so
who it is.
So, just because I'm curious,
yeah.
So to hold true with most female singers who do the Super Bowl, there's going to be like nipple slips or something.
I hope so.
Okay.
I mean, I would not ever say anything on the air.
But we will have our TiVos rolling.
Absolutely.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
And she'll have her guns ablazing.
Listen. Super Bowl is happening this weekend. Now, Captain America, Chris Evans.
Or as George Bush would say, Captain America.
Captain America and Chris Evans And Guardians of the Galaxy star Chris Pratt. Why is it that all the big stars in the Marvel movies are named Chris? Chris Hemsworth, Chris Pratt, Chris Evans.
Chris Owen of Comic Culture. Yeah,
exactly, yeah. Right? So anyways, listen, there's a bit of a small rivalry going on between Pratt and Chris Evans. And so they've actually – it's a bit of a bet, and they've actually decided to put this towards charity. So if you would like to own a – Civil War, New England versus
Seattle.
Seattle, mm-hmm. Patriots. Sorry, Patriots versus Seahawks.
Uh-huh.
But there's a picture, sort of like the Patriots kind of has like the Captain America flag on the helmet.
Yeah,
and the Seahawks kind of has like the
Seahawk flag.
It's got like the what do you got the Star Lord mask,
right?
You know,
okay,
thing
yeah.
on it. So if you want to have a shirt that has all this on it, you can actually go to T Fury, F-U-R-Y,
mm-hmm.
and you can actually buy one of these, and the money goes to charity.
How do you spell the T part?
T-E-E.
Oh, see, that's why I had to clarify.
It's a great, good question, yeah.
T-Fury.
So it's a charity t-shirt. So here, I got this from Comic Book Resources, and it says, as CBR noted last week, Boston native Evans and Seattle resident Chris Pratt dug into their own civil war. If New England wins Super Bowl, Pratt will don a Patriots jersey, and vice versa, blah, blah, blah. If Seahawks win, Evans will dress as Captain America and visit Seattle Children's Hospital carrying a 12th man flag. T-Fury is getting in on the action with a Chris versus Chris shirt, and it's going to be the Outlaw versus the Patriot. So you know what?
Wow.
I just wanted to plug that.
Yeah.
If you feel like
that's really good marketing.
I saw the shirt, and it's actually, even though by the time we pay up here in Canada, by the time you pay for duty and shipping and all that, it may cost
that's
you 450
yeah. bucks.
But it looks like a good cause.
All right.
Yeah, so. But you send that down to CGC, get that sucker
get
slapped.
Get
graded.
That graded.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Get a 9.9.
You know what? Let's have a quick musical interlude. We haven't had a whole lot this week, so can you cue something up here?
Absolutely, and this is going to be really relevant to Walter coming back, because I feel like he's going to take us in some sort of crazy direction we've never been before.
Oh, boy. Okay, here we go. Let's hear the crazy direction, and then let's go do it first.
The Lone Ranger. Feet of light, a cloud of dust, and a hearty high of silver, the Lone Ranger. With his fearless Indian friend Tonto, the daring and resourceful masked rider of the plains, led the fight for law and order in the early West. Return with us now to those thrilling days of yesteryear. From out of the past come the thundering hoofbeats of the great horse Silver.
Hi-ho! Silver!
All right, listen. Wow.
All right, Chris. Now, do you have...
I got a couple more questions.
Okay, why don't you hit me with the cup? Hit me with your rhythm stick.
I got a couple
more
questions, and then we're going to go into some more stuff here.
Wait, I got an email from a guy that wants me to plug some new... I got an email. So, but before you get the thing, I got... You know what the problem is when we're stars?
I know. It's
you get these emails, and then you don't... You say, look, buddy, I'm busy.
I know.
Okay?
Yeah.
And then they end up sending you some stuff. Like, you know, like a nice case of little Armagnac.
Oh, right.
And so,
right,
you know,
right.
Go, okay, pal, maybe next show. So I got to plug some books that this new upstart company wants to be publishing
that's fair.
Spring. So.
I'm going to give you two more questions.
All right.
We'll see how well you do on them, all right? You didn't fare nearly as well as I had hoped last time.
What are you talking about?
I'm not complaining. I'm just saying.
Don't worry. Well, you know what? This time I'll help you out.
Okay.
All right. I got him in my corner.
Now, okay, Wolverine.
Shecky's got my back.
You've heard of Wolverine before, right?
Shecky's got back.
Shecky got back.
Harry back.
Oh, boy.
All right.
You've heard of Wolverine.
Speaking of Harry back.
Quick,
Harry
throw back. In the towel. Quick,
yeah.
Throw it in.
Yeah, I've heard of him.
Okay, well, what is Wolverine?
Get Canadian kid.
What is Wolverine's birth name?
Logan.
No.
Bob.
No.
Hold on. Rogetien.
God bless you. Wolverine's given name at birth is James Howlett. Now, this is one of those retcon things.
Now, would you make that up?
I did not make
How'd
it up.
How'd you make that
I
up?
I did not make it up.
I could have made that up.
It's in
Rogue Chant is more believable than James
Origin.
Howlett.
It's in Origin. It's in Origin, so it's a, you know what? Logan was the name of his real father, Thomas Logan, mm-hmm. and who was also the illegitimate groundskeeper of his stepfather's estate.
Right. Okay.
So, and then he was on the run and he decided to rename himself Logan. All right. So
that's okay. All right.
One more question here, and you won't get it. I don't even know why I bother asking you because
I'm on a roll.
Clearly, zero.
Go. Ofer.
Ofer. What is the first appearance of Wendigo?
Oh, Wendigo?
Yeah, Wendigo.
Oh, where did Wendigo? Cherry Pop Tart number one.
Where did Wendigo?
No, that's the first appearance.
No.
Okay. Wendigo. Yes, I know the Wendigo. The Wendigo is like the Yeti.
That's right.
Wendigo first appeared in Hulk number 162.
Oh, you just saw that open.
No, I swear to God, I knew that. I knew that.
You did not.
I swear to God, I knew that. I swear.
You looked through my paper.
I didn't. When? When?
Fine.
Yeah, I knew that Hulk 162. I know my Bronze Age.
All right.
Oh, so that's good. That's good, Walt. You can read my handwriting, huh?
I still don't believe it. But anyways, all right. That's it for my stump Walt.
I think you did pretty good on that. I think you did too well on that, Chris. I think after a while, people are going to start wanting to discredit Walt from being an Overstreet Price guy.
I
believe that you got one out of five.
Okay. anyway, I really hate to do this, but this guy's been bugging me.
All right, let's talk about it.
And it's from a new publishing company called Big B Publishing.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Oh.
So the guy's been bugging me and bugging me and bugging me. Says. So there's three new series, comic book series that are in, I believe they're in the February previews.
Okay, yeah.
So I know we get a lot of comic shop owners because we, you know, if there's anything we do on this show, it's champion the local comic.
We always do that.
And
by the way, we're broadcast on CFMU 93.3.
Yeah, Hamilton's award-winning radio.
I forgot
station.
What it was.
Yeah,
second.
Hamilton's award-winning radio station
because of us.
Hey guys. So, yeah, so I believe in the February previews, these will be solicited Big B Publishing. Yeah. So there's a new crime-fighting team, they're called The Players.
Oh.
Right? And they're made up of Celibate Sandy.
Okay.
And Buy-A-Bit Randy.
By a bit.
Yeah. And so basically they patrol the red light district.
Oh.
And they, if you commit the crime, you get played.
Oh, yeah. Right.
So this is a kind of like a crime noir.
I like it. Okay.
Set in Hamilton. Yeah, so high hopes for that one.
Yeah. Good luck with all that.
there's a new crime fight, another new, it's not a crime fighting team. It's actually a superhero team. It's called The Unit.
The Unit.
Yeah.
Oh.
The Unit. The team is comprised of Ramrod the Tiller and the Bag Boy Twins.
Oh, yeah. Well.
And the team is, but their checkout, working the checkout by day.
Okay.
And knocking you out by night
is the thing.
Like
that. Yeah.
So I'm not so sure about that one, but apparently they have the artist already signed up.
Oh,
so,
the artist.
Stuff like that. I can't really say the disclaimer.
Secret, I understand.
The third one is Big B is reportedly about to announce an ongoing title called Camel Toe.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's about a two-hump camel named Peaches.
Oh, okay.
And in the first issue, it's very exciting, Peaches' arch nemesis, the Tickler, is introduced.
Oh, yeah.
So this is an upstart, Chris. It's an upstart publishing company. I was asked to plug these three new series. So check it out in your February previews. Oh. And, you know, try some.
When you get a copy of Camel Toe?
Camel Toe.
Yeah. I want to get a copy of that.
A two hump camel named Peaches.
I like it. Can you reserve me a copy of that, please?
I'll get you 10 if you want.
Good.
Anyway, so. That's the small press service announcement of the week.
I like it. You know what? I think what we should do? We should have a small press announcement every week about upcoming comics that are coming and,
Oh, just, trust me, I get emails all the time.
Okay, well, that's good. Yeah. That's good. Trust all right, me. Listen.
You know, okay. They might even be better than these.
How could they possibly be better
than that? I don't know.
All right.
Set the bar pretty high there, Walter.
All right.
I know.
Let's...
You know, I have high hopes for the unit.
You know what? I have high hopes for your unit as well. Listen, let's... speaking of comics, we got to talk
is
about...
Is that what we're talking
we
about?
We are. Believe it or not, boy. We're talking about... I want to talk about Image co-founder Todd McFarlane. Do you remember that guy?
Yeah, he is a co-founder, yeah.
Do you remember him?
Yeah, Joe Baseball.
Yeah, Joe Baseball. He bought the Mark McGwire Baseball for like $8,000 million.
Mm-hmm.
And let's be honest here. He did help revitalize Spider-Man to a point.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, because he was drawing it in a way that nobody else had ever drawn Spider-Man before.
Yeah.
He drew the Hulk for a while. He drew mm-hmm. Batman for a while, mm-hmm. and then he went on and did Image Comics and created
Spawn, which is.
So I guess people are still wondering if he'll ever, because he doesn't really do a whole lot of comics drawing himself anymore. Like I think he's sort of overseeing, you know, Image Comics and toys and all that kind of stuff. So. Apparently, people are still asking him if he was ever going to go back to Marvel or DC or anything like that.
And yeah.
So he says here, here's the answer to a question I get asked a lot. No, I will never draw for Marvel or DC Comics again. But it's not why you might think. The reason I don't want to draw for them is that it's one of the many titles that I have in my various business interests is that as president of Image Comics... I take it very take that responsibility very seriously. Image Comics is the third largest comic company in North America, and as such, we are in direct competition with Marvel and DC. And as president of Image, I would personally think it's a conflict of interest for me to do work for a direct competitor.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah,
I like it. That makes sense. I'm with him.
I agree. And now, having said that, he goes on to talk about how
then he announces his new run on Batman. Right?
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Although he says he won't actually work for those guys anymore, he is willing to do crossovers. So
to help Image.
Right. So if there was a Spawn Spider-Man crossover.
But there was already a Spawn Batman one way back in the day.
Right. So, but if there was a Spider-Man one or whatever, a Hulk one or something, he's all for it. He would love to do those issues. He just can't actually go and work directly for those comic companies anymore.
Yeah.
Right?
Now, I don't know. Like, you know, like, say to us, right? Say to us, we say the names, never mind names like Frazetta. No, those guys are like before our time, right?
Right.
We say the names Moore, Miller, McFarlane with reverence because those were the people that changed the industry in our time when we were young, when we were coming through the system and they were changing the game.
Exactly.
You know, I guess my point is, do the younger crowd, do they care about McFarlane?
You know, I don't think they do. I don't like the people that are...
Like, what's the Hughes guy? Adam Hughes. Yeah.
They care about
him more than McFarlane.
I totally agree. I don't think McFarlane is as popular as he once was. I think he's... I think a guy like Greg Capullo, who's actually still working on characters like Batman, I think he's more the newer generation of comic book readers are more interested in him than they are McFarlane.
Right. That's sort of the point, I guess, is like he's talking like it matters what he's talking about. But maybe
unless you're a historian, unless you want to go back and look at the history,
or unless your guy's, you know, 40s and older.
Well, yeah, but I mean, like, so if you're an old, if you're a young kid, though, and you're looking at, like, I mean, so a guy like you, for example, Walt, if you, it's kind of like how the way you would have gone back and looked at EC Comics and looked at
Feldstein and Frazetta and Williamson and those guys, right?
Because you're so into it, at the time, you're like, hey, what I want to see what was happening before my time,
right?
And I think the kids, you know, I say the kids, the people in their teens, uh-huh. 15 years old, because, you know, when was the last time McFarlane did a Spider-Man?
Yeah.
Like, that's like 20
years I can
ago.
See it now, Chris. I can see it on the playground now. Like, they're all like the 13-year-olds, they're bragging to each other about these old guys they've discovered. Like, oh, man, you got to check this guy Liefeld out.
It's so true.
That guy was awesome.
You know what's sad is that, you know, and you know what? Kids, I remember when I was working in the stores. Kids would come up.
You were working it.
I was working it. Kids would come up and they, you know, so a 10-year-old, 12-year-old kid would come in and they'd, you know, they'd say, oh, I've got this comic. It's really old. It's 5 years old. Mm-hmm. That's half that kid's life.
Mm-hmm.
And to us, I know, like, it's, yeah, I know. It was yesterday.
Yeah,
right? I know.
Kid, what are you doing? Yeah. Wasting my time.
What are you doing? Wasting my time.
Get away from me, kid. Don't bother me. Yeah. Go play on the freeway or something.
But it's true. It's timely, right? And I don't think McFarlane is as timely. Although I think obviously he still sells all kinds of toys. Mm-hmm. I don't know if anybody really cares about his artwork anymore.
I know. Yeah.
Like really, like, yeah. I mean, yeah. Other than the fact
that it's definitely dated.
Yeah, for sure.
Right?
For sure.
Yeah. Well, isn't the biggest question about all of that is that he was doing his impact, he was making his waves during the generation when the widest sales of comic books were just flowing, exploding into 90s, the universe.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Right? Yeah. So he was drawing through the biggest boom that there ever was in comic books. So I guess he's got the most exposure you could expect.
Now let me ask you something, Chris. Really, the last quick interjection here. Yep. Who's the last great artist that is timeless in comics?
Timeless.
In comics.
Timeless.
Yeah.
Hold on. So you mean like is he still?
I don't know. I'm asking you. To you.
That's a great question.
You can't say Liefeld because, you know, whatever. You can't really even say Kaluta. Not Kaluta. Like Mignola because you can. Maybe Mike Mignola.
You know,
maybe
like,
Greg Hyland.
Greg.
You know what?
Is it Neil Adams?
John Buscema. Yeah. Neil Adams.
Yeah.
John Romita.
Yeah.
You know,
but maybe we're being fuddy-duddies.
Jim Lee.
Yeah, maybe we're being... You know, maybe
Jim
it's Jim Lee because that's really
still,
new.
He's still relevant. You know,
yeah.
They look at his stuff. He's still working now. Like, he's still doing stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know if I can say that, you know, Frank Miller is timeless.
Yeah.
You know, his stuff is great, but is it timeless? Yeah. Is a guy like Adam Hughes timeless?
I don't know. That's a good question.
It's a great question.
Yeah. Like, which one will history favor and look? Who won't be a generational talent, but an eternal talent?
It's a great question. Because you know what? As a guy that collects original artwork, and I know we're running out of time, but as a guy that collects original artwork, you know, sure, I can go to a show and I can get sketches. I can get 100 sketches from guys that are maybe popular now, but nobody's in 10 years from now.
Yeah. And the sad part is, and we've discussed this before, last point is, and you know, and I think this is a guy that belongs in the timeless range is a guy like you go to a con these days, and one of the shortest lineup will be at a guy like Bernie Wrightson's booth.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
So
yeah, absolutely. But that's also because sometimes they charge too much. You know, sometimes people. I remember I was at a Chicago con like 15 years ago. And he wanted $100 for a sketch 15 years ago. And I thought that was outrageous then.
Right.
Can't imagine what he's charging now.
Right.
Right?
Fair enough.
Anyways, listen, we are running out of time. We've run out of time.
Comic Culture, produced by Shecky Feldstein, also known as Marty Berthelmer, engineered by Chris Owen. You can hear us at 93.3 CFMU McMaster Radio, podcast at comicbookdaily.com, getthepointradio.com. Get on to comicbookdaily.com and add some comments in the comments field. And we'll see everybody next week.
And please go and support your local comic book retailer and have yourself a great day.